So the problem in this project we're dealing with is that in the solar system, we have a lot of asteroids wandering around. And someday, some big ones like this one may decide to come to Earth. And that will have a huge impact on the Earth system. We cannot let this happen, as we say today, because it will be a disaster for our home planet. Nothing will be remaining after this. So we have to mitigate this. There's a project we're working on. It's called PD Mitigation Gateway. We are trying to bring together the knowledge that we have from the humankind and also all the capabilities we could have deal with this problem in different stages. We don't want this kind of things. Fortunately, we luckily in the past about many hundreds of millions of years, we didn't have this kind of big things. But we do have some smaller things happening to us. So that means we need to understand better about our solar system and also so we need to understand how the Earth system is interacting with all the asteroids, as you see from here, and how that will interact with the close by planets or the other objects in the space. And this is not a trivial task. We have to work really from a grand infrastructure and sensing aspect. One thing is that we need to integrate the observations from many different aspects and also looking at if something like that is coming, what is the trajectory of that? And based on that, we can do the model simulations to find out what is the impact, what is the energy distribution, spatial-temporally, on the Earth system. And then we can propose some potential decision support action suggestions. So one then for supporting that is really what we call here the big data management. So the data science really comes to play in a big way because the data sets we're going to deal with here is not small. As you see from this diagram, it integrates different domains and in terabytes, petabytes of scales. And also the infrastructure side on the computing is providing an enabling capability of doing this. So this project is ongoing. The key here is that we are using and we need a lot of sensing technologies and the infrastructure to support, enable this kind of analytics. Another example I want to share with you is that in about 2005, we had Hurricane Katrina. We were able to produce this kind of flooding map after a few days of the flooding. In this disaster, we lose about 3,000 to 4,000 people's lives. After about 10 years, when we had the Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Irma last year, we were only losing about close to about 100 or less than that lives. One of the contributions of this is that because we can produce this kind of maps in hourly basis. So one of the contributions from the NSF Spatial Temporal Innovation Center is to work with a team of LOA and others to produce this kind of flooding map on an hourly basis. So we can send it to FEMA and they can use this to save people's lives. Now, this is a big improvement, but the follow-on question is that could we produce this kind of maps in real time? We don't have that kind of sensing capability or infrastructure yet, and that's what we're getting towards in the next step. So the third example I want to give is that everybody's talking about PM2.5, so this is one of the sources for PM2.5. We have the dust storm happening. This is one of them happened about 7 years ago at Phoenix, Arizona. But in order to better understand this, we cannot control these kind of things, but better understanding them and being able to simulate predicting that is a key. So what we're doing is really working with the modeling community to come up with some prediction capabilities to see how the dust is generated and been brought up into the atmosphere and transferred in the atmosphere and how much is the concentration distribution spatial temporally in the atmosphere. And that is critical for us to make decisions on public health so that we can notify people to stay inside instead of going out if we have these kind of problems. So another challenge to this is that once we have these kind of observations or simulation comes out, we cannot stare at the monitor 24 hours per day to identify when do we have that dust storm come up. So one of the things that we're doing is to really look at these observations and develop algorithms to detect automatically and tracking the spatial temporal patterns of the dust storm. So this is one of the work that Dr. Manju Yu was doing. It's quite successful in detecting all those as she validated. But now we're taking this technology, the spatial temporal understanding of this into Tycho Lather problem, which is what you see here. Now we have about petabytes of climate data simulation data sets, which includes the anomalies of temperature, flooding, hurricanes. So how could we automatically detect those from the petabytes or hundreds of petabytes? Or if we get to the 0.75 kilometer resolution, we're going to get to 1.5 exabytes. That's a challenge we don't have the tool to deal with yet today. So we need to develop something to deal with those kind of problems. And in order to deal with those problems, we have an organization kind of looking at this, not really to come up with a full solution yet, but look at the problems, pinpoint those technologies we need. So that is the NSF Spatial Temporal Thinking, Computing, and Application at UCRC, including UCSB, George Mason, and Harvard CGA. So what we're looking here is really taking the data sets we observed and using the infrastructure to deal with the problems and to advance from three aspects. From the thinking process. So we were talking, in fact, just a few weeks ago about what is the challenge of dealing with this kind of disasters or problems. One of the key is that the decision makers, they don't have the thinking process of adopting the new tools to help them, the new information and knowledge. So one thing is that we need to put up this thinking process to their brain that we need this. So that is something we're engaging the teachers and high school students, middle school students to develop some spatial temporal thinking process or algorithms. So hopefully in the future, when they become the leaders, they could take this into their considerations. Another part is looking at the computing side. What are the software and tools that could help us deal with those kind of problems? We have been really good in developing GIS tools, for example, ArcGIS in the past decades, which solves a lot of problems. But would we be able to use the current GIS tools to solve the problems I just talked about? No, we're not there yet. So we need to develop new disruptive tools to deal with those problems. And that will come from the spatial-temporal computing aspects. And more importantly, this research will be driven by the applications and scientific questions, and at the same time apply to solve the application problems and to enable the research of those scientific problems. So working from these three aspects, thinking, computing, and applications, is the key to make all this happen and to solve those challenging problems. So through this, we believe that we cannot do this only by ourselves in the universities. We can do the innovative research, but in order to make it really innovative, we have to push them into the industry to make them as products and services, and taken by the agencies to make them as operations so that we could finally solve those problems. Yeah, that's what I have. Thank you.